Hello and welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster podcast. This week, TK is chatting with me, Editor Lewis, about costuming and wardrobe on the show. Honestly, it's pretty much me talking at TK for the next hour about Alex's ever-changing suit, but I do have a lot of thoughts on the matter.
Hello, not Alex Horn, and welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster podcast.
Hello.
I like that. It's just,
how are you?
Not Alex Horn. That's what we're, that's what your name is. That's what your legal name is. I don't make the rules.
Yes, that's my government name.
Yeah. Good times. All right, so we are here today to talk about something that's very specific to Taskmaster, which is the costuming and the designs of the outfits that that Greg and Alex wears. Now, we might touch a little bit on some of the contestants, because obviously there are some outstanding outfits that some of the contestants have worn on the show. But for now, we're going to focus on Greg and Alex. So take us through, let's just go chronologically. Like, series one, I know we're kind of getting our footing. We're trying on, you know, certain items of clothing as Greg and Alex. Like, we've got the Taskmaster, we've got his assistant. So so tell me, like, what the story is with the clothes that they're wearing in series one.
Okay, and there is very much a story to these outfits. And what sparked me going through the whole series with a fine-tooth comb trying to look at what type of shoes everyone is wearing was I was out here about 3 o'clock in the morning, high off my ass, and just watching Taskmaster as YouTube served it to me. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what in the fuck is Alex wearing? Because he had this jacket on with contrast lapels, and I'll get to those later. And I didn't remember seeing him wearing those at all before. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he's wearing this weird jacket. And so I was like, I have to go back and see when he started wearing this. And then I noticed that his costume took several years for them to actually figure out what the hell he was supposed to be wearing.
Right.
And the costumes in season one are kind of funny, because aside from the fact that Greg's suit does not fit to the point that it's too big on him, which is weird, honestly. How did they find a suit that was too big on him?
Right.
And they pretty much nailed his right out of the gate. He's mm-hmm. only gone through very small changes. Mm-hmm. But Alex's costume is all over the place for the first 5 series. Mm-hmm. And in series one, we've got Greg with his just black suit, the black waistcoat, 6 buttons, basic points. It's your hollow type waistcoat. He's got his black cap toe derbies that he's always worn, his diving watches. He's always worn those, except for recently when he's been wearing an Apple Watch. And I know people have actually been upset about this. And I'm not a watch guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about them, so I can't comment too much on those. Mm-hmm. But his costume, they pretty much nail it. There's a few changes. Like, at the beginning, he's got a very bright white lining on the inside of his jacket. He's got a pretty basic shirt, just spread collar, barrel cuffs, the kind that you do up with buttons. And the jacket itself kind of tells a little bit of a story, because his lapel notches are really high. They line up with the top of the seam for the sleeve. Mm-hmm. And there are other people who could talk a bit more elegantly about some of these details. Like, I'm no Derek guy, for instance. But the high lapel notches, which I'm only half certain are as high as they seem to be, because he's very stiff in the chair as well, mm-hmm. in his throne. Like, he doesn't know how to sit in it. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing, which it really affects how the suit fits him. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting there, and the fact that, you know, even when he's all perfectly sat up straight and the suit is still too big, that's very telling.
Yeah.
But he's very uncomfortable and stiff, but I think it's more to do with the show than with the costume.
Because
His costume is great. It just needs to fit him better.
Right. Yeah, there's at that point they're still breaking in the set. They're breaking in the chairs. You know, they're breaking in the whole personality and the characters and everything.
Yeah, and like it's not even a set. They filmed the first series at the Clapham Grand, which is a theater. And for a long time, and this will come into play with Alex's costume a little bit, because his suit doesn't match. And for ages, that was one of the things I did notice, even before I noticed that he had a weird jacket in Series 3, was that in Series 1, the jacket doesn't match the trousers. The trousers are a much warmer shade of black, if that makes sense. But once you know it's there, it's really hard to unsee.
Yeah.
And for a while, I was trying to work out, is it the lighting at the Clapham Grand, and then they move to, like, I think they're on their fourth studio, and they're going to be moving again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I do think it is that, because Alex's costume is... It's not what you'd associate with little Alex Horn.
Right.
Every part of it is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the story that these costumes tell, is that Greg comes out... Absolutely perfect costume. They've nailed the look. It fits the personality of the Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes Alex trying to seemingly find the right level of scruffy underling.
Yeah.
Because the on top of his suit just not matching, he's wearing black Oxford brogues for the first series. Which, those aren't shoes that Alex wears. Those shoes are nice.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Alex wears crap shoes.
Right.
And then he's wearing black and gray striped socks, because they're both wearing dark socks in the first series.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually that becomes more apparent.
Yeah.
But what's really, really weird is that he's wearing two different jackets through the first series. He's got his studio jacket, which has a very high peak lapel,
mm-hmm.
and then his task jacket, which is the notched lapel.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. And the peak lapel jacket, it's not necessarily more formal, but a notched lapel is definitely more casual.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Like, yeah.
There's no reason you can't wear a peaked lapel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of episodes of Would I Lie to You where David Mitchell is wearing a peaked lapel,
mm-hmm.
and it does not look good on him. It doesn't work, because that man was born to wear tweed. And so, yeah, he's got this. He's got his French cuff shirt, and it has also the spread collar. Mainly, I think, just because that's a more popular collar style in the UK. Over here, we really like point collars, which are kind of a deeper, sharper point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very subtle difference that really only affects how a tie looks.
Mm-hmm.
But since neither of them wear a necktie, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
And another thing that's really interesting is he is known for his Casio watches.
Yeah.
He's got so many of them. And then in Series 1, he's wearing a shiny silver thing, which I don't know if we ever identified that. There are people in our little writing club group who do watches, and we've identified collectively quite a few of the watches that both Greg and Alex wear.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember what it was, and I didn't remember to look it up.
Now, was that the one that Greg gifted him?
No, that came in much later.
Okay.
I'm not sure when, but I think when Alex said, and he gave me a new watch, and he shows it off on the show, I do think that was fairly recent in between Greg giving it to him and him showing it off.
Okay.
Because it does also show up in No More Jockeys.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a good way to pinpoint when he was given that watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at some point after the pandemic.
Yeah.
I say after, but let's, whatever.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But another thing about his suit, which I'm not quite entirely sure the exact timeline, but there is a Guardian article where he talks about going and getting 4 identical suits from Marks and Spencer's.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up getting a 37-inch inside leg. And that's why his trousers from day one, because even in the first series, they look absolutely stacked. And you don't stack trousers. That's not right. You stack jeans.
Right, yeah.
So I guess really in the terms of his suit, his trousers are just too big.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks ridiculous. And that is pretty much, in series one, the only part of his costume that he got right was that his trousers don't fit.
Right.
But it's one of the things that just absolutely personifies little Alex Horn in my mind.
Uh-huh.
Is just how scruffy and, I don't really want to say like gross or dirty, but unkempt in a way.
Yeah.
Like, little Alex Horn comes from the same school of design as whatever the hell Joe Wilkinson has. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Now, you were talking earlier about how neither of them wear a tie for the studio recording shows, at least. Now, tell me if you think there's a difference, because I think there's a difference, but I am not eloquent enough to, like, I don't know what the words are that I'm looking for to say it, but what's the difference between the fact that Greg has this kind of open, like, unbuttoned, you know, like, top of his shirt type of thing, and Alex also has that, but they look very different to me. Like, Greg having the top bit of his shirt undone seems very, like, light and casual, like easy breezy, you know, and it looks very good on him. And then, like, Alex, you look at Alex and it, like, he also has, you know, a couple buttons undone on his shirt, but he just looks like a little raccoon lad that's tried to dress himself out of the garbage. I mean, that's horrible. Yeah. Just like, I'm obviously.
No, but that's exactly what I think the image of little Alex Horn is.
Yeah.
He's just a feral creature that got dressed in a skip and a dart.
Yeah.
That's what he should look like.
Yeah. So do you think they're, like, from a fashion standpoint, is there, like, something that they're doing with the shirts that is making it look like that? Or is it just because they're paired with the rest of their outfit?
It's partially to do with the pairing. Like, one of the reasons Greg's collar looks so different to Alex's, even though they're both a spread collar, is that Greg's wearing a waistcoat.
Mm.
And waistcoats are, again, they're not necessarily more formal, because plenty of people wear them casually.
Right.
But a waistcoat does signal certain things about the wearer. And you typically will only see a waistcoat with a tie. So having that waistcoat without the tie and the collar open kind of suggests that he's only partially dressed, even mm-hmm. though he is fully clothed. And it's the same kind of thing as the naked Victorians. When they're not naked at all, they're fully clothed, they've got their shirt on, it might be unbuttoned, but that's an unacceptable level of being clothed to the point that it's naked.
Right.
And it kind of signals that same thing, because a waistcoat, especially one that matches the suit and it's all black and he's got the black shirt on underneath, you expect to see a tie there, mm-hmm. even if it's black.
Yeah.
Just because that's what we're trained to see when we see that kind of outfit. Whereas Alex, he does just look like he's been dragged through a hedge backwards. And that the open collar adds to that, because his shirt never quite fits him right. He doesn't tuck it in right.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't wear any part of his suit correctly, which, like, on one level, I hate. And I would like to dress him. On another level, it's so perfect for the character.
Right, yeah. That's what makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, so that's series one. So how much do things change going into series two now that they know that they're, you know, the show is greenlit, you know, for at least another series? Little do they know it's going to be, you know, 50 series later. They're still doing it.
So there is a lot of change between series one and series two. And literally none of it is from Greg, except for he's now wearing bright socks.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Alex has an entirely new outfit for series two, which is, again, really weird, because he's now got a, well, for one, his suit matches.
Mm-hmm.
The jacket matches the trousers, and I still don't think they're the same trousers that he wears for tasks. I do think that there's always been two different suits. It's just more and more they've become very similar. So in series two, he's got a notch lapel in the studio. It matches his task jacket. Occasionally, in both series, he'll wear cufflinks.
Mm-hmm.
Usually only about two or three episodes a series. But he is wearing cufflinks because he's wearing these French cuffs. And one of the things that I find just baffling about the way that he wears them is he doesn't like to button them up, or to put cufflinks in them, rather.
Mm-hmm.
He just will wear them open and loose and flopping about. And I don't know how he does it without sleeve garters. Mm-hmm. And there's even some shots while they're doing tasks where his sleeves have very obviously become unbunched from inside his jacket, and now he's got them rolled up over his jacket.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and for anybody who's not familiar with French cuffs, they're insane. They're twice as long as a normal cuff because you bend them backwards and then you do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So his decision to not wear French cuffs, to not wear cufflinks, there's a lot going on there because it's so unwieldy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand not wanting to have sleeves that are buttoned up, because that is, I agree, that's very uncomfortable. And I've heard that's probably why he doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's got these, he's got this new suit jacket. He's got bright socks like Greg. Mm-hmm. So the bright socks happened almost right away.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But what's more important is that he's finally found two elements of his costume that will stay.
Mm-hmm.
The black Casio watch that he wore forever and has only recently started switching out for other colors.
Mm-hmm.
And the plastic slip-on shoes turn up this series.
Yeah.
And on his footwear as well, I don't remember where I read this. It might be in the Guardian issue that I referenced earlier. He had said somewhere that it's mandated that everybody wears slippers in the house, and that has been the rule for day one. The only exception was for the people doing the task, because they might need to be running in and out and doing everything, and it's too much hassle to change.
Mm-hmm.
And by this point, he is the only one who still consistently wears slippers in the house. And I do think that's part of why he switched to the plastic slip-on shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen this man's footwear otherwise. He has nice shoes.
Yeah.
The plastic slip-on shoes just happen to look a lot like the slippers he was wearing in the lab and in other places in the house.
Mm-hmm.
In the first series. So it's less obvious now when he switches.
Yeah.
And there's one recent series where he's wearing dress trainers, which are the worst form of footwear ever for anybody who is under 70. I hate those shoes. Like, I can understand the plastic slip-on shoes. I hate dress trainers so much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so at this point in series two, I mean, Greg's suit is still too big on him.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't much they needed to change, whereas Alex very much seems to be going through trying to find his character in his costume. And that's something that's happened to me. I used to do a lot of acting when I was a student, and it's something called a character click, where all of a sudden, just one day, you find the character.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it happened to me, it was when I finally got my costume finished.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't feel like I was in the character until I was wearing the character's skin, effectively.
Yeah.
And that's what really seems like it's going on here, because we get to series three now, and again, no change with Greg's costume.
Mm-hmm.
It's still too big, but nothing has changed. He's still wearing his diving watches. He's still wearing his derbies. The suit looks fine otherwise. But now Alex comes in with that jacket I mentioned earlier that has a contrast lapel. And that is where you've got your lapel, and with the notch on it, above the notch is one color and below is another.
Mm.
And this was really subtle. It's a black-brown contrast. So the bottom of it is brown. And I'll throw a clip or a photo in here so that you can actually see that, because it's another one of those that doesn't look like it's... I don't even think it was intentional, honestly, because it's so weird. I feel like it was a jacket that was grabbed as he's trying to find the right costume.
Yeah.
It stands out. It's such a weird one.
Yeah, at this point he's kind of like realizing that the character of the assistant needs to not have such a high budget for his clothing.
Yeah, and it is starting to get there. And the thing is, like, contrast lapels can look really good. One example of kind of a gaudy over-the-top one is the jacket that Jack D wears in the series whichever final. Was that 18?
Yeah, 18.
I think that was 18, yeah. He's got this kind of burgundy, velvety jacket with a burgundy and black contrast, and that one looks really good.
Yeah, that I remember that being really pretty.
Yeah, but I mean, aside from also the lapels on Alex's jacket kind of drifting down almost like the middle of the seam, it's another thing that I think he was playing with that and just didn't notice the lapel.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing about the notches, that they do absolutely nothing. You don't even need a notch in your lapel. It's just decoration. And they kind of do the same thing that shoulder pads and power ties do,
right?
Which is, they change the way your shoulder looks without actually changing it. So the higher up it gets, the more it looks like you've rolled your shoulders back,
right?
But then lower ones just look more relaxed and more casual. But there's really no hard or fast rule for it. It's just kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So slowly his lapels have been drooping down now ever since he started playing with his costume, basically.
Right. Which definitely kind of melds into the character even a little more, because a lot of times, and especially when Greg will be like yelling at him, for lack of a better term, Alex will try to kind of like scrunch into himself, like turtle into himself a little bit. So I feel like that definitely helps with the hiding away portion.
Yeah, Greg claiming that he is 5'4", I think did so much to inform the character.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be smaller than Greg.
Right.
And that's what I feel like he's trying to do metaphorically with his costume, is that Greg has a really nice semi-formal look, whereas Alex does need to look like he's been dragged backwards through a hedge.
Yeah.
Because he needs to be below Greg. He needs to be other than Greg.
Mm-hmm. So that's series three done, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so surely at some point they get into a rut where they're like, okay, this is what's going on, you know, like this is our costumes. So does that happen in series four, or are we still working through some stuff?
We're still working through some stuff. I mean, for one, Greg's suit finally fits.
Yay.
And that's it. That's his entire change.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new suit. It's identical to the previous one, except that it's somehow not too big for him anymore. Which I would love to know how they found a suit that is too big for Greg Davis. Who was that suit made for?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Meanwhile, Alex has gone through a whole litany of new changes again. He's wearing what looks like, again, two different jackets between the studio and the tasks. And I'm the only thing that I have to go on this. I'm not entirely certain because obviously I can't get in there and really inspect them. And they're wearing black, which is the hardest color to see on a screen.
Right.
But it does seem like, again, his lapels are a different ratio. The notches don't look like they're in quite the same place. But that could just be because he's sat down in the studio and being chased around and beaten up in the task.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? But Greg's lapels also, I don't know if their notches have gone down or if he's just become more comfortable. Because by series four and his brand new suit, he occupies that throne. He's already leaning in it sideways and draping his leg over the armrest and doing all sorts of, you know, just, I am the king.
Yeah.
This is my castle.
Right.
So he's found his costume, or his character rather, and he's gone into why he had a trouble with this character before. It's just, for him, it was a matter of confidence.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be too hard. He didn't want to be too soft.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a line that he had to find himself. So Alex, he's got the new jacket. His suit matches completely. He goes completely off-piste again, and now he's wearing ties and his cufflinks from Mel Gedroych.
Right.
Before, he only ever wore his cufflinks in studio if he chose to wear them.
Mm-hmm.
But now for series four, he's all dressed up nice for Mel, and he's got a couple of different ties he rotates through. There's a bolo tie and a bow tie and a necktie and a couple of other weird ones. And I'm not sure. I wish I knew what the joke was. I mean, other than she's Mel Gedroych, well, then why didn't you wear them for Sue Perkins?
Right, yeah.
Like, there's a joke that only makes sense in his head there.
Yeah.
But by series four, they're both wearing bright colored striped socks. So they're starting to match a little bit more in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found particularly interesting is that series four is where Alex starts to have really found that character. And as I think another guest on this podcast mentioned, around series five and six is when they really start to gel.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find it interesting was that Greg had said to Alex at one point in series four that he's noticed a new confidence. And that kind of throws Alex for a loop. And whether that was genuine or just Alex being Alex, who knows? But I do think that he's noticed the same thing that I've noticed, which is that he's finding his character through his costume.
Mm-hmm.
And he is almost there. And he's just about got it. There's just one thing that needs to change at this point. But it takes him until series six to notice what that is.
Uh-huh.
Because there's no change again in series five from either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time neither of them have changed their costumes at all.
Yeah.
And then in series six, they both get a very minor, but I think important costume change, which is that Greg starts wearing his glasses. And I think we all agree the glasses complete the look.
Yes.
But also, Alex has changed his shirt. He's no longer wearing French cuffs. He's now got a button-down collar. And the shirt doesn't fit him. It's really awkwardly see-through. And it's just a really weird... It's a weird look. But it works for him. And I'm not personally a fan of button-down collars. But at the same time, Jeremy from Taskmaster New Zealand, he wears a button-down collar and he makes it look good.
Yeah.
Alex wears the button-down collar and it looks like it's only buttoned down so that it doesn't fly away.
It's like a trash bag just surrounding his torso.
Like, and it's entirely just because it seems like a cheaper made shirt.
Yeah. Now, can you tell me the difference between button-ups and button-downs?
Yes. So, a button-up is a shirt that buttons up. So, this one would be. a button-down collar is where you have the holes, buttonholes, on the collar itself, and they literally button down.
Mm.
And it's a way of keeping your collar tidy without having to deal with ironing or starches or any kind of interfacing that would be needed to keep your collar straight and flat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about Jeremy Wells, is that it looks like his collar does have interfacing.
Yeah.
But it's just buttoned down as a style choice. And that's what, weirdly, that's when I think they look best, is when they're not needed. Like, I've got a couple that are like that as well. They don't need it. They've got the interface in there. And I choose not to wear them buttoned down because I kind of like the unkempt, my collar might fly away look.
Right.
But with Alex, it does seem like it's buttoned down for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Now, normally, would you say that a button-down is more formal than a button-up?
No. Actually, the opposite, usually.
Oh, okay.
Because a button-down collar is something that you'd wear in an office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, like, again, like Jeremy's, you can get nice ones. But the more formal collar is the spread or the cutaway, which I'm wearing a spread right now. I think it might be a cutaway. I'm not sure. I hardly ever wear it with a tie, but the more formal ones are actually the ones that show more of your tie.
Oh, and, that would make sense. Yeah. Okay.
Whereas the button down is meant to, you know, you've got your tie and then you're going to button it down and everything is going to stay in place no matter how active and busy you are today.
Yeah.
So it's more of a utilitarian thing.
Okay. So he gets that new shirt, Alex does.
Yeah, and that's when he becomes little Alex Horn.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is series 5. It's one of the more popular series. And it's the series where you start to really see Alex just being that weird little dickhead that he's really good at being. Just weaponized stupidity and incompetence. Which I think is, again, something that really sums up Alex Horn on a character level.
Yeah.
So yeah, and another weird thing is that in series 6, he's got another shiny watch, and I don't know if it's the one from the first series.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got another shiny watch, and this is also series 6, where they really start to play with other ways that his wardrobe can be used. Because this is the series where they had that cap to keep Alex dry.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's wearing that kind of a nice, brightish blue color suit.
Mm-hmm.
So that any water will show up. And they do that again. It's been done a few times. And then they do it again in series 13 where he's got the pink suit.
I love the pink suit. I'm obsessed with the pink suit. It's so good.
It looks ridiculous. And if it's the one that he got in No More Jockeys, it doesn't even need to be ironed, he said. I don't know if it is that or the man just has multiple pink suits.
I wouldn't put it past him, honestly. I think it looks really good on him.
And I don't know the exact date, but I think it is somewhere around this time that he got his pineapple tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I think the first time I noticed it was series 7. When Rod Gilbert dressed him up in a bikini and then made him get naked.
Yep.
I think that was the first time I noticed it. But also, he wasn't taking his shirt off that often before.
Right.
Like, I can't really think of a time that he actually did. He's taken his trousers off before.
It would have been series 5 with Sally Phillips when she gave birth to him.
Oh, that's right. That's right, but I don't think we see much of him.
Yeah, because I think for one thing, he's covered in plastic wrap. And for another thing, the camera angle is very close to his face.
Yeah, but it would have been somewhere around that time.
Yeah.
And that's another thing about the tattoos, is that you look at him, and he doesn't look like somebody who would have tattoos. And then he's got this bizarre little 1990s lizard, and the best pineapple I've ever seen.
Yep.
And then, he takes his clothes off, and there's the weirdo, and of course he's got weird tattoos. But then after that, we don't really see any kind of changes in their wardrobe again until series 8. And again, it's very small, because that's when they both start wearing the patterned socks.
Wow. And also, is it really? I feel like the patterned socks have just been around for so long.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising to hear that series 8 is when they start. It feels like late in the game.
Before that, it seems to largely be solids and stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they're both wearing their kind of not quite matching pattern socks. And also, this surprised me, because I thought it happened later. But Series 8 is where Greg starts wearing his cufflinks.
Mm.
And they're so hard to spot. I don't even have any good screen caps of them. I might try to look. But he's got these silver TM cufflinks.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So at some point, those have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Series 8 there, where they're finally in their final suits. And they haven't changed since then.
Nice.
It does tell this sort of story there, where Greg was perfect as he is.
Yeah.
He came out with a single look, and the only changes that were made to it were to just tweak it to make it look a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure it fits, give him nicer shirts so he can wear these cufflinks, and that's all they needed to do.
Yeah.
Like, their sock guy, he does a lot of really fun work. I don't know, I doubt he's just for sock.
Right.
I have to assume he's just part of the greater costume department.
Yeah.
But what I want to know, ultimately, is if it were Alex who was doing all of this fiddling about with his suit, or if it was the costume department.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one question that I don't have the answer to.
Yeah.
But either way, the costume definitely seems to have informed the character.
Yeah. I feel like it could be a little bit of both, because I can definitely see Alex going up to the costume department and being like, okay, I feel like these shoes are too fancy, or like, I feel like this fits too well, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to look too put together.
Yeah. And there's this idea that goes around as well that I really, really hate. I actually hate this idea for a few reasons. That Alex can't dress himself, and that his wife dresses him for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I can kind of see where people might get this idea to begin with, but it doesn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the man has a very defined sense of style, and he goes into something that's a kind of kitsch camp. It's this weird style that doesn't have a defined name or a defined look. It's defined entirely by the shape of the shirt collars that he wears.
Hmm.
So a camp shirt is exactly what it sounds like. It's a shirt that you would wear camping, i.e. as like a Cub Scout back in the 50s. They don't have a top button. They're meant to be worn open. The collars usually have minimal but some amount of interfacing to keep them nice and flat. They've got this second kind of flare on the bottom, so it's that two-point collar.
Mm-hmm.
And that defines the entire myriad of camp fashions. Is the specific collar on the shirt. But then after that, it's anything goes.
Yeah.
And he leans very much into avant-garde styling. And honestly, if you took Alex Horn's wardrobe and you took Noel Fielding's wardrobe and you mixed them together, I feel like you'd be hard-pressed to separate them out.
Yeah, I can see that, honestly.
Yeah, the main difference is that Noel goes more toward maximalism and bohemian patterns, where Alex is definitely kitsch. Mm-hmm. He likes mermaids, he likes bears, he likes weird, funky, not quite tropical prints. And for him, it's all down to colors and prints and patterns.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't really understand that sort of fashion, it does look like just absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
But if you've ever watched No More Jockeys, I think that's where this theory completely falls apart, that it's Rachel Horn dressing him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has, in the first set of No More Jockeys, the best jacket I've seen in a while. It's got this really subtle piping down the lapels. There's two buttonholes in the lapels. He's wearing a bold blue shirt with convertible cuffs, which can be worn either out like this or wrapped around. They've got buttons on both sides, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's paired this with a really kind of a powder pink tie with stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a good look on him. And there's few episodes where he isn't wearing something that's very stylish and very put together. The exceptions are really the ones where he's intentionally dressed a bit like a twat, because that's what the episode is.
Right.
Like, there's one where he's dressed like a minion.
You know who he reminds me of is Mabel from Gravity Falls.
Yes. And
just lots of colorful jumpers, just like doesn't give a shit about, you know, being color, like shying away from color or anything like that. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. And I will tell you, as a resident of Oregon, that is the most unbelievable part of the entire show. That this girl is wearing knit jumpers in the middle of Central Oregon in summer.
Yeah, that's real.
No, you will die.
Yep. All right, so we're going to take a brief break to play a game. And
oh boy.
Yes, you're going to be the first one to play the thing that's not fact or fanfic, because I ran out of those. So
I mean, to be honest, I back myself as having seen every series of Taskmaster more than anyone else in our group.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, for those who don't know, and any readers out there, I had a bad year a couple years ago. It's literally all I watched. For about 8 solid months, I would watch Taskmaster, and then would occasionally break it up with, you know, Buzzcocks or whatever.
Yeah. So I am going to give you 3 titles of fanfics, and I am then going to give you 3 options. And so it's going to be like a multiple choice thing of like, what is this fic about? And you have to choose the correct answer.
Sounds fun.
Okay, so I'm going to start you off with what I think is an easy one, but that's just because everybody in our group chat talks about it all the time, because it's like, it is to me a staple of the fandom. But this is Spaceship Greg by Illuminescence. So, not sure if you've read it, but you should.
I haven't,
and
actually.
Everyone
you're
should.
You're right, it gets talked about a lot.
It does, because it is fantastic. It is a work of art. Okay, so, your options are... So again, this is like, what is the story here? Okay. Option 1. Spaceship Greg is an alternate universe in which Greg runs a struggling amusement park. Alex, Mark, and Tim work summer jobs there. Option 2. It is an alternate universe in which Greg is a starship captain and Taskmaster alumni comprise his crew.
Okay.
Option 3, it is an alternate universe in which Greg is a literal spaceship.
It's three.
It is three.
Because I saw this really good animation that someone did where the spaceship even had his glasses.
I know what you're talking about. I think she commissioned an artist to do like a little, it's like a little gif or something. It's gorgeous. There's like Alex in the foreground and he's standing looking at the ship and then the ship is like looking at him. Oh, it's so
it's
pretty.
It's up above him and just kind of
hovering.
Swaying a little bit.
Yeah, it's so pretty. Okay. You got one right. Good job. This next one is by me. This is an older one, so you might, and it hasn't really been talked about since I put it out originally. But this one is called Lust and Pride.
Okay.
So option number one, an alternate universe slow burn in which Greg is a sex worker and Alex is a John who hires him. Option number two, an alternate universe in which Alex has feelings for his tall, ivory-haired professor who will not indulge him. And option three, an alternate universe set in Regency England in which Alex and his sisters Mark and Tim navigate society in search of a good marriage.
So there was talk of a Pride and Prejudice AU that someone was going to write and that even done all of the casting and everything. So I kind of want to say it was that. Number three.
It's not that. It's number one, sex worker.
Nuts.
Although, that was a really good guess because there has been talk of doing a Pride and Prejudice AU. Not by me because I'm sure I've watched the movie, but one, my brain is like a sieve, and two, it's been a really long time since I watched it, and I remember nothing about it, so it's not gonna be me.
Honestly, same.
Okay, last one, and this is for your little trophy on the website, so
okay,
you gotta think real hard about this one. Okay, so this one is called The Revenge of Blue Ted by Lotta Soup.
God.
Okay, option one. Greg's girlfriend left him after finding that he still regularly has relations with Blue Ted. He seeks solace with Alex. Option two. I know, this is so funny. Option two. Rod Gilbert helps Greg experience what Blue Ted might have felt.
Oh, no.
Option three. Greg and Alex are in an established relationship. Blue Ted has been left forgotten to time, and he is not happy about it.
What was the first one?
The first one is Greg's girlfriend left him after finding that he still regularly has relations with Blue Ted. He seeks solace with Alex.
Again, I'm leaning toward three.
It is three. The most unhinged answer is correct.
I didn't think that it was two. Because again, in that Factor fanfic thing, I've seen that played out for real. Because he does it at the end of You Magnificent Beast.
Yeah. Good times. All right, excellent job. You get a little trophy.
Yay.
Okay. All right. So let's continue the conversation and talk about let's talk about contestants' costumes on Taskmaster, because we've talked pretty in depth about Greg and Alex. What are like your top like standout costumes from the contestants' standpoint?
So one reason that I really became more obsessed with this show than I have with other panel shows is because it follows the same rules that like comic books and animation do, and part of that is the format where we see the same people every day.
Mm-hmm.
or every same people every episode, but I love that they always have these costumes, even if it's a very subtle costume, they wear it every single episode for every single task, mm-hmm. because I am remarkably face blind. And like, it's this bad that during the second Champion of Champions, I got confused consistently because Ed Gamble's hair was quite long during the task,
mm-hmm.
and then was again cut very neatly for the studio. And I think it wasn't until my second watching that I realized they were the same person.
What a person to get mixed up, Ed Gamble.
Yeah, it just wasn't clicking for me.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love these with the costumes.
Mm.
For the best ones, I do really like how Ed took that costume that he had for Series 9, the denim tuxedo.
Yeah.
And then he elevated that for Champion of Champions and wore that horrible 70s powder blue one.
Denim on like, denim.
Like Lou Sanders said, he was the best dressed loser I've ever seen.
We love to see it.
And I really like that Lou did the same thing as well. She had taken her costume and then retooled it for Champion of Champions.
Mm-hmm.
I always like those ones. Yeah. Dara did the same thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, even though, except for Ed for some reason, I knew who was who
mm-hmm.
going in. Like, I've been a fan of Dara's forever. I think if, you know, he's one of those ones where if I don't recognize him, something has gone very wrong.
Right.
But I did like that it was the exact same costume, just with more patches.
Yeah. And it's actually, it's funny because now that you mentioned Dara, I was, his series was 14?
Yes.
So for some reason, in my watch through of Taskmaster, the first time I was ever watching it, I completely skipped 14, and I have no clue why. Like, it was by accident, because I was going through, like, from Series 1 through, like, chronologically. For some reason, I skipped 14, watched Champion of Champions 2, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And, like, and he, because I watched, like, maybe 10 minutes of the episode, and I had to pause, because, you know, like, he turns around, and there's a big, wait, what? And I was like, I don't understand. Is that supposed to be, like, some kind of callback to something? And then I was like, I don't think I watched his series. So then I had to go back and watch his series. I was like, oh, okay, I get this joke now.
I mean, that's no worse than what either myself or my husband did. I watched it backwards, like a psychopath. Oh, no. And then I learned that there were these Champion of Champions. So I went back and watched those.
Oh, my gosh.
And then my husband, I had told him rather foolishly that the odd number series for a long time were tended to be the more unhinged ones. And he interpreted that as only watch the odd number series.
No.
And then, like, I'd be talking about things and he's like, oh, I didn't see that. And I'm like, why not? Oh, well, it might have been in a series that you told me not to watch. And I'm like, I didn't tell you not to watch them.
Oh, no.
I just said the other ones are particularly good.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine not watching 16, one of my favorites of all time.
Imagine not watching 6.
Yeah. My partner, he, like, I was talking on our group chat about something, and he was like, what's the profile picture on your group chat? And I was like, it's Greg and Alex almost, like, right before the kiss. And he's like, what kiss? I'm like, what do you mean, what kiss? And I had to go back.
Point, yeah, what kiss?
And I had to go back and, like, go back to Series 6 and bring it up for him. And he's like, I straight up do not remember that. And I was like, oh my gosh.
My poor husband. The first eyes he ever laid on Taskmaster, I was back in the bedroom. This was right after the ordeal, which I won't go into here.
Yeah.
And I was watching Series 6, and he just happened to wander into the bedroom at the precise moment that Alex Horn sat his bare ass on a cake. He watched that happen, and then he looked at me, and he goes, "What the fuck kind of weird porn are you watching?" And it took me a month to convince him that this show is not porn.
That's like the best intro to Taskmaster it ever.
He, like, he was so shocked and disgusted almost. No. What aren't you telling me?
Oh, like, my gosh.
I think it was just that he thought I was hiding things from
him. Yeah, you're like, no. No.
He needed to process this. I'm like, no, I promise you, it's not always like that. It is sometimes. Sometimes. But not always.
Oh my gosh. Now, there's one thing that is like my favorite thing that contestants don't always do, but when they do it, I'm so happy, is during the final in-studio recording session for episode 10, when they coordinate their outfits, it's yes. Like, I love that so much. Like, I the want Beatles to see
one. More often.
Me too. Because, like, the Beatles one was, like, top tier for me. It was so, so good. That was Ivo's series. What?
Yeah, that was 15.
15, yeah. And then, what was the one? I think
series
it was
9 were the tuxedos.
The tuxedos was really good. And then I think they did something similar in Steve Pemberton's,
so if I'm remembering both correctly. Series, which is that one, 17, and yeah. Then again here in 18. What they've all done was dressed up really nice, and I like that as well.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I think they, if I'm remembering correctly, in series 17... Maybe I am misremembering this, but I think everyone wore a tux except, or no, maybe I no, think I am. No,
because Steve was wearing the tux because he was wearing that tuxedo jacket.
Well, because he was, the shirt, yeah.
Yeah. And but then everyone else was just dressed nice.
Yeah. And I feel like there was, I can't remember what series it was, that I feel like there was someone that had been dressing really, really nice in the studio the whole time. And then in the last episode, he just comes in wearing like sweatpants and a t-shirt. But I don't remember what.
That's kind of the opposite of what Sam Campbell did.
Yeah. Sam Campbell, I don't. It was all feeling a bit gray.
I don't understand Sam.
I don't. Now, what I really loved was Andy Zaltzman. I loved him coming in with all those outfits and just like no explanation, just like none at all. Like sometimes there was a little bit of an explanation, but like not. We didn't get as much as I think we should have. But I really liked his outfits.
On the same vein. Bridget Christie did something similar.
Yeah.
And what she had said she wanted to do, because she's got that black suit from, what is it, Fistful of Dollars?
Yeah, she was going to wear the white one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and instead what she wound up doing, because like it wasn't done in time or something, is that she spent the entire studio record just wearing a vague Western motif.
Yeah.
And then someone else did something really nice in studio as well, and I can't remember what it was.
I'm trying to remember. Cause
so much to remember.
I know, yeah, because we're and 18 series in at this point.
I am going to nitpick John Robbins a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
His trousers were the wrong color. Freddie wore white.
Ooh.
Freddie wore white jeans at the Live Aid show with the yellow jacket.
Yeah, that's funny. I feel so bad for John because he was like, my outfit's going to be the best. And then Nick shows up and it's just like,
God, I love how completely Nick misunderstood the assignment.
I love him so much. And one of my all time favorite things about Taskmaster, period, is how the editors edited out his reflection in like everything they could. I was like heart eyes emoji the entire time they did that. It was just so good.
I feel like every time I watch this show, I notice something else the editors have done.
Yeah.
There's just so much insanity going on.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons I love this show, mm-hmm. is that it is controlled chaos.
Yeah. I mean, the editors, they don't get nearly as much, you know, screen time, for lack of a better word. But, like, they are ultimate true heroes. Like, they will create magic out of nothing. It's incredible. I remember when my partner and I were watching this latest series, we were trying to figure out whether Rosie Jones had a theme to her in-studio outfits, because at first we thought that it was like a cat theme, aka like a pussy theme, because she had like a cat, like a leopard print thing, and then she had like a cat on her shirt or something. I don't think it ended up being anything,
I think she's just been taking cues from Joe Lycett. Mummy and Daddy have started dressing similarly.
Yeah.
But no, another one who I really liked was, again, in 16, Susan had some wild studio outfits.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah.
Who pulled the best little costume stunt.
That was so Julian funny.
Had his prize jacket that said fuck off on the inside. Mm-hmm. And then during the break, she'd done that to her jacket. Purely in anticipation that Greg would piss her off.
Yeah. That was amazing. I loved that so much. And then, of course, I mean, not to like go back to Greg and Alex, but to go back to Greg and Alex for a bit. Because Alex sometimes will have like these weird, I don't know if they're like suits that he needs to like throw away at this point, but he'll be like, oh, I'm going to cut a triangle into the back of it. Or like, I'm going to.
Yeah.
It's just like, and like the ones with the pockets all over the place. I'm like, why?
Combat ripped.
What is this?
And the one where he showed off his back.
Yeah. I personally want to know what happened with that lemur tail, because that, say what you want, but that tail looked good on that man. I will stand by that opinion.
That tail looked professional.
It did. It really did.
That wasn't something that he went down and found at Tesco or something.
No, absolutely not. It was huge. Huge tail. It was. I was like, holy shit.
It was huge. Back brace or something? Yeah, it was sturdy and it looked like it had a bit of weight to it.
Yeah. That's like a convention tail. Like you show up to a convention in that tail. I loved that tail. That was a gorgeous bit of kit. Gorgeous.
I love it when he does shit like that.
It's so funny.
I always get really sad when I see the Series 9 finale taken out of context, because they're just drowning in bronzer.
Yeah.
And unless you are paying attention at the very top of the show, it looks like they've done something other than pretended to fall asleep in a tanning bed.
That one was weird.
Yeah, like, I missed that the first time around as well. I was just, you know, watching, and then all of a sudden, why are they orange? What's going on here?
Yeah. And of course, we've got Fern Brady, who has like the most magnificent outfit I've ever seen in my life. Like the gorgeous, that teal color. Oh my God. That's like that's one of my favorite colors of all time, is like that specific teal. It's so pretty.
The revelation that she had that costume designed by someone who does like kinky costumes.
Yeah.
Explained everything.
So good.
And I think she said that she even had trouble getting it cleared for television because it was too suggestive in some areas.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, like, it's a gorgeous costume, but is that really what you're choosing to go with on national television?
Yeah. Not only that, but like, I mean, I told you, I think before we started recording this episode, is that I mostly just dress for comfort these days, and I would hate my life if I had to get into that thing every day.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's one of the costumes that it looks great, but at the same time, it gives me that kind of visceral, like, I don't even know how to explain it. Just I can mentally project myself into having to wear that.
Yeah.
And hating every second.
Yeah. Again, it's like a con outfit, like something that you'd cosplay as at a con. And then like you look great and you get so many compliments and then you go home at the end of the day and you're like, get this fucking thing off of me.
I do love how it took a while for it to go from these, you know, this is just going to be my filming outfit to, oh, we're allowed to do something mad.
Yeah.
But in series one, Tim Key was dressed in that horribly fitting tracksuit.
Yeah.
With a shirt and tie underneath.
Right.
And then we go from there to a few series where there's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden by series 10, we've got Achievement Woman.
Right.
I love Daisy's costume her so much.
Yeah, it, hers is so good. The little cape always gets me.
Stickers, which I don't think were stickers, but that's what she called them.
Yeah. And then we've got, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's, oh my gosh, I don't even remember if it's Australia or New Zealand, but who was that one girl that she, there was a in-studio task for like, you have to, it was the one with Lee Hart. And you have to come, I think it was New Zealand. Was it New Zealand? Okay. Or was it Australia? I forget. Anyway.
I think it was New Zealand because I've not watched much of that.
Okay. Because
there's have trouble gelling with New Zealand for some reason.
Yeah. Well, if you get time, go watch the episode. I don't remember. I know it's Lee Hart's. So it must be the first season because I think
it's the second because I'm poking my way through. Maybe. Okay.
Whatever, he's the dude on the end. He's like the
bald.
Yeah, he's bald.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So it is the series I've been poking my way through.
Okay, good. So eventually you'll get to, so I won't spoil it then, but basically there's...
I've already seen it. I just don't remember it.
Okay, well, there's an episode where it's in the studio, wear a costume under your studio outfit. Okay. Or whatever, and I forget what her name is, but she like gets out of her costume and she's just like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. It's like, what?
I vaguely remember that. I know that there's something that what's his ass, Paul's brother, comes in with like a photo of Paul on his shirt.
Oh no, that's somebody else. That's the other guy. So Guy Montgomery comes in wearing a bunch of shirts with Paul, but Guy Williams, who is his brother in the other series, he comes in and I think his outfit is that he's like taped fish to him, and so he like gets undressed and there's just a bunch of fish like duct taped on him. Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see the way that the Taskmaster and their assistant dress in other non-UK iterations, because like Jeremy, he's wearing a pretty suit. Like, okay, whatever. But then like I'm sorry, I'm obsessed with Paul's outfit. Like his little white tux with the bow tie, and like he's just so cute. And then Tom Cashman, we've got wearing the like not quite a tux, not quite Alex Horn outfit, but like with the really, really long red whistle.
I was just gonna comment on that. I love the red lanyard.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think Greater Tom just wears like a nice navy suit.
Yeah, he wears a really nice suit.
Yeah.
And then on the UF one, which nobody ever talks about, Reggie was dressed really nice as well. Mm-hmm. Reggie had an amazing costume. But because Alex was still wearing his costume,
mm-hmm.
they looked wrong next to one another.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've said this many times before, that everything about the first hat or the U.S. Taskmaster had the potential to be so much better had it just been an hour long instead of cramming it down. If they gave it the amount of time that it needed without the insane amount of ad breaks that Americans puts on television, it would have been fine.
Mm.
Like, I do agree that Alex and Reggie didn't really click with their characters. And that might have happened over time, but Alex shouldn't have been his assistant in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully eventually Greg and Alex will come to the U.S. and show us how it's really done.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that these rumors turn out to be true.
Yeah, yeah. So before we wrap up, I just want to do one more shout out really quickly of a contestant outfit, which is going to be in this upcoming series 19. And I think I'm remembering it correctly. It's Stevie. Now I forget what her last name is.
Oh, yeah.
Stevie.
I know who you're talking about.
It's Stevie.
I always want to call her Stevie Nicks, and that ain't right.
I know, that's literally what my brain is like, it's Nick. I'm like, it's not.
I've seen her in other things.
Yeah.
I know it's not.
But anyway, Stevie's outfit for Series 19 is like this really classy, like full black, but with gold accents. And ooh. I am obsessed with it. It's like super classy. Like, and I love a black and gold. Like I'm obsessed with like black and gold anything. It's just like the ultimate like classy thing for me. So her outfit is just super gorgeous.
One more that I want to shout out as well is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum to all of this is Nish. Basically wearing the same thing that Greg does.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what he wears all the time.
Yeah. Was it him and he did like it wasn't a clothes swap, but they dressed up as, I think it was him and Jason Mantzoukas dressed up as each other one year for Halloween. Yeah. And like, yeah, they didn't look any different from each other, except they just had like name tags.
And I understand he's done the same thing. He just came in with what he wears.
Yeah.
And yeah, like a few people have done that before. And sometimes you don't even know it. Like, yeah, okay, that's just a nice outfit. Like, what Roisin wore is definitely something that she just wears.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you get these people that go all the way out. There have been so many different boiler suits, and I'm so straddled on the boiler suits. Yeah. Because some of them look really nice.
Yeah.
And then some of them, it's clear that these people can't even move in that.
Right, yeah. Like, Rosie's outfit was amazing. Oh. Oh my gosh.
Fael's and Mawan's, I think, are the best ones.
Yeah.
As far as the boiler suits go.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like Dara's for Champion of Champions.
Technically, his is a flight suit.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Which is why I didn't include him.
That makes sense. I didn't realize that he was into, like, space stuff until I was flying, like, across the country to the New York premiere. And there was like, I was scrolling through what the plane had, you know, to offer. And it was like, oh, Dara talks about space stuff. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I watched a little bit of that. I was like, I know this guy.
Was it his moon special?
No, it was the solar eclipse thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah. He was always really fun on QI because he's one of the more intelligent contestants who just becomes baffled when he gives a wrong answer. Like, there's one where they retroactively took points away because he said that the 0 point of water or something was 0 Celsius. And it's actually 0.0, which looks like the same, but it's not the same. So they retroactively took points away from him.
Wow.
And he was beyond pissed.
Aw, that's wild. That's really funny, though. All right, so thank you for coming on the podcast and talking about the costuming and the designs. Really, it's honestly, like, quite fascinating. And we actually do have another guest that is going to come at some point that's going to also talk about, I think, specifically contestant costumes. So that'll
be why I didn't really prepare anything.
No, you're good. I just like riffing about them because there's just so many good ones to choose from.
I mean,
I'm sure we left out.
I could probably talk about their costumes, both Greg and Alex and contestants, all day.
Right. Yeah.
There's so much that goes into them.
Yeah, and it's really cool to like see those minutiae of, you know, the things that change very, very subtly that otherwise you wouldn't necessarily learn about, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So,
it took me being in a bad mood one night to notice it.
Yeah. So as we wrap up our podcast episode, are there any fan work recommendations you want to shout out? And also, is there anything that you want to plug, aka where can people find you if you want people to find you, etc.?
I can't remember. It was something an admin by Toft. What is that title called?
Oh. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'll put it down here. But that one by Toft, which is in Eye Candy and Admin. There it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
That's a really, really nice AU set kind of post-war Britain where Greg is an actor and he needs a new valet. That's a really good one.
It is really good.
And Madam Q's Task Markets.
Yeah.
That is an amazing series. But yeah, it's nice to be on this side of the camera instead of on the other side.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know that I'm the editor.
Yeah, for the listener.
Yeah.
It's our editor.
But you can find me at Not Alex Horn. I'm around a few places, kind of not very active. Mainly right now because I've gone back to school and that has eaten all of my time.
Yep, that's real. School will do that.
It will.
All right, well, thanks for coming on the pod as a guest. Now get back to work. Bye.
Will do. And once again, that was TK and myself talking a lot of bollocks about clothing choices on the show. Don't forget to subscribe to see more from us, and why not check out our Patreon while you're at it? Links for everything are down below in the description.